Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Trying to wake up for the Thursday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs regularly go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings. I've been a little behind since I got sick, but we're going to get a brand new one up for you on Saturday morning, so look out for that. Of course, you know, you should swing over there, check out sportstimeradio.com, because you never know what's going to happen over there. But while you're there, go ahead and hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan, Dan, with three E's.
Oh, all right, Dan. Well, I saw just as I was kind of getting up that the Mariners have managed to let another player go. Now, this time it wasn't via trade or anything, but Nelson Cruz has signed a one-year, $14 million deal with the Minnesota Twins, and I believe it actually contains the contract contains an option for next year at $12 million. So, yeah, just one more Mariner by the boards there, huh? They're going to win what, about 70 games this year?
73.
Yeah. So I don't know. What do you think? You know, you like that signing for the Twins, and like I thought it was a little weird that Cruz seems to sign with teams where you're not supposed to hit home runs, but yet he hits. You know, I think last year he hit 37 in Seattle, and I think 39 the year before that. So will he get to that number in Minnesota, which is now a notorious place to not homer in?
It's quite possible. I mean, they definitely needed a guy. Now, don't forget they had that huge signing with Jonathan Scope.
Yes, which I liked. I don't know how everybody else felt about that, but I liked it.
It's looking to be a solid lineup. They've got a, you know, all around nice batting order. I was going through it today. Mine's a little slow.
Yeah, and, you know, they also added C.J. Cron, you know, this offseason.
Well, they did. I didn't see that one.
Yeah, when Tampa Bay decided to, I think they just outright released him. It was one of those odd, he was either released or non-tendered, and Minnesota is where he ended up. So they've got a couple of, you know, big-time power bats now with him and Cruz, obviously. You know, Cron had a really a breakout year last year for Tampa Bay. But, you know, that's another one of those, you know, just another one of those tough teams to figure out, except unlike Miami, they win games. So it's, you know, kind of strange. But, yeah, I actually heard someone today call the Twins a wild card contender, which I was a little surprised by. I mean, I guess it's, you know, it's possible. But, looking at what they've got set up for the lineup here, right now, this is just roster resource. They have Jorge Polanco leading off at shortstop. C.J. Cron in the two-hole. He would be their first baseman. Eddie Rosario would play left field, bat third. Of course, Cruz would be the DH and hit cleanup. Max Kepler, fifth and right. Jonathan Scope, sixth at second. Miguel Sano would hit seventh at third. Jason Castro, who's coming back from an injury, would hit eighth and catch. And then Byron Buxton, another guy, they got another guy coming back from an injury, would hit ninth and play center field. Not too bad of an everyday lineup, is it?
No, not at all. Yeah, I mean,
no.
You know, the question I have is with the pitching in their division. You know, I know that, you know, they're the most games against it, but the White Sox pitching is looking pretty good, as well as the Indians. If they don't move, you know, the Carrasco they're looking to move.
Yeah. Well, you know, Minnesota's pitching isn't too bad. You know, Jose Berrios had a really good year this year, and, you know, he's not even 25. You know, they still got your guy Jake Odorizzi hanging around. That Adalberto Mejia is, you know, he's a solid, you know, middle of the rotation guy. They do have a couple holes. I'll be interested to see who closes. You know, they shipped off your guy Fernando Rodney in the middle of the year. Well, not kind of, you know, the trade deadline last year. They also shipped off your guy Zach Duke. I believe he was a Twin as well. They do still have Addison hanging around, but I don't know. You know, like this lists Trevor May as their closer, and I don't know how much closing he's done. So I maybe, you know, I know there's a lot of relievers still out there. Maybe they're in the market for one of those guys hanging out there, or possibly maybe they've got a prospect somewhere that, you know, can step into that role. I know I do see here they have a guy ranked number 10, Tyler J, a left-handed reliever, but he hasn't pitched above double A. Of course, with closers, sometimes they can make that jump a little easier. So, you know, maybe he's somebody to look for. But, yeah, you know, this pitching seems to be kind of the weakness here, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, well, when I meant to, you know, the pitching, that the hitting's going up again. You got to have more than just Nelson Cruz.
So, yeah. You know, and oddly, I mean, it's kind of humorous. The Twins actually did finish in second place in the Central last year. They were under 500 and 13 games out, but it's the American League Central. So, you know, it's not a... not a huge deal. You know, I do wonder, you know, like the website here lists Polanco as the shortstop. Do you think maybe Nick Gordon wins that job in spring training? You know, he is Didi's brother. You think he's got a shot at winning that job and maybe being the opening day shortstop?
I mean, anyone has a shot, but he's not a star. You know, he wasn't knighted.
You know, because I know he's got to be close. You know, I know they took that Royce Lewis at the top of the draft, but I don't think he's been out of A ball yet. So he's still got a few years to go before we see him. But yeah, I was wondering if Gordon might be possibly ready to make that jump and grab a spot. So I guess we'll have to see. But, all right, well, you mentioned the Indians, so let's swing over here. Did you see Trevor Bauer bought his father a new truck for Christmas?
No.
Yeah, I picked up the video of that today. And now, you know, the Indians are the team that are, you know, they're trying to trim some payroll, but I don't know if they've actually done a good job of it. I mean, they did ship Encarnacion off, who had a pretty big contract, but they had to take Carlos Santana's contract back in return. So I think they saved a little money there, but not a whole bunch. You know, the talk is they were going to move a pitcher, be it Kluber or Bauer, and still nothing there. You know, Carrasco's name came up early, but then he signed an extension with them. You know, I don't know. You know, I know they let their bullpen guys go, and everybody was worried about them having a closer, but people seem to forget they got Brad Hand last year in a deal with the Padres. So they're just fine at that spot. But I don't know. Are you where are you on the Indians? I mean, I assume you think they're going to win the Central again like I do, but are they in any kind of position to be an actual playoff contender in the American League?
You know, it's rough to say. They did lose a handful of guys, you know, Melky Cabrera, Roger Davis, Josh Donaldson. Come on, BJ. You're supposed to laugh at that. I don't know. They added Jody Mercer, so I don't know what it is. You know, they've got a pretty solid team, and, you know, is the better option having Carlos Santana over Edwin Encarnacion?
Yeah, you know, and they did get, you know, they did pick up Jake Bowers. They shipped Yonder Alonso off to the White Sox, but Jake Bowers will be their first baseman. But, yeah, their lineup will look a little different. I mean, they have the mainstays. Lindor's at short. Kipnis is at second. Jose Ramirez will move back to third now that Donaldson's gone. They have Santana penciled in as DH. Jake Bowers at first. Tyler Naquin in right. Roberto Perez will catch. Now that Yan Gomes is gone, Leonis Martin in center, and then Greg Allen, who's one of their top prospects, will play left field. So they've got some, you know, younger guys and guys, you know, like Perez. People have been waiting for Perez to play full time for a little while now, and you know they shipped off their prospect Mejia in the Brad Hand trade. So it's really Perez's job now. I guess we'll see if he's ready. But I don't know. It seems like a lineup that's got a lot to prove, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, and you know what I mean? Obviously, you know, the guys like Lindor and Ramirez, you kind of know what you're going to get out of them. You know, Santana wasn't great with the Phillies, but he, you know, he produced for the Indians, so maybe being in a familiar location is better for him. You know, Bowers is just turned 23. You know, doesn't even have a full year of major league service time yet, so he's going to have to prove something. Naquin's been injury prone, and, you know, so's Martin. So, you know, we'll have to see how things shake out there. And then they have Allen, who, like I said, is a prospect that, you know, they're going to get into the lineup. You know, obviously they still have a fantastic starting rotation. I mean, you know, when you can run Kluber, Carrasco, and Bauer 1-2-3, you're okay. And then Clevinger was good for them last year. And right now they have Shane Bieber penciled in as the fifth starter. I don't know if that would be permanent or, you know, maybe Danny Salazar comes back. But I know there was talk. If and when Salazar comes back, he's going to be a full-time bullpen guy. So that could be interesting. But, yeah, I don't know. You like this team, or you think they got to plug in some help, or what, you know, what are you looking at here with Cleveland?
I think they definitely have it all in order to tackle, you know, take on their division. Like you said, you know, with, like, the Red Sox, the Yankees, the Astros, can they compete with those guys?
Yeah, that seems to be the big question is, can they, you know, can they get to that next level? I guess you would have to ask. You know, and I know, you know, they have one big-time pitching prospect. The rest of their prospects don't grade out really well. Of course, we know sometimes the grades mean nothing, you know, as we know guys you've never heard of are all of a sudden having gigantic years, but that's all I have to go on right now. So, you know, we'll have to you know, have to see. But yeah, I don't know. It doesn't. It I, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but it doesn't seem like their lineup is as formidable as it was last year. You know, their everyday lineup. I mean, obviously, you know, you got to love the pitching 1-2-3, but yeah, I don't know. The lineup just doesn't kind of bowl me over. I'm not sure if, you know, again, I don't know. Is it just me?
I mean, you don't really need to be blown over, I think, the lineup in this division, do you?
No, I mean, they're you know, they're going to win the division. I think that's kind of obvious. You know, I think the only way they don't is if they suffer big injuries to, you know, key guys. But, yeah, it's just kind of, I don't know. I guess I just wanted to be excited about it, and it's just not, it's not there yet. I don't know. Maybe they'll do something else that I'll like. You know, but, I mean, it's still not going to stop me from picking them to win, you know, the Central. I don't think any of the other teams are in their league there. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. But, you know, I guess we keep going. I'm looking at the Tigers here. And, you know, kind of interesting. They you know, again, this is just how it's set up. But they have Jamar Candelario listed as their leadoff hitter. But there's a lot of guys in this lineup that, you know, again, a lot of questions with the Tigers. They go Christian Stewart is the guy they're plugging in at DH. Nicholas Castellanos, you know, a lot of trade talks there. But right now he's still a Tiger. Miggy back at first base if he's healthy. Nico Goodrum takes over second. Mikey Mack took in left. Jordy Mercer takes over as the everyday shortstop. You know, Julio Iglesias, they let go into free agency. Grayson Griner is a pretty solid catching prospect. They have him in. And then Jacoby Jones is the last starter there, you know, in that order. Boy, you know, Dan, with the exception of kind of the name guys, you know, Candelario with the Cub, Castellanos and Cabrera, you know, and Jordy Mercer. I don't know a ton about these, you know, these other guys kind of looking at them except, you know, what I've got in front of me. Kristen Stewart is a left-handed hitter who's 25, and he was a first-round draft pick 3 years ago, but that I don't remember seeing him play. Did he make an appearance last year? I guess it does. He's got some minor service time, but you know, a lot of these guys just don't stick with me. Do you have any more insight, or I'm just kind of like, wait, who the hell are these guys?
No, pretty much the same. I mean, but you are looking at an entire projected lineup of guys they've acquired through trade. Or no, sorry, there's three of them.
Yeah, well, you know, Stewart they drafted, and I think Castellanos they drafted. You know, he's been a Tiger. You know, but the question is, do you think he makes it to opening day, or do you think somebody pries him away? There was a lot of talk he would look good in that Braves lineup as their everyday right fielder, and, you know, they definitely have what the Tigers would be interested in prospect-wise. Do you think he's there come opening day?
I would like to say so, but I don't think so. I mean, we've seen it happen all the time where, yeah, you know, we kind of peg guys to be starting in the majors, and they get sent back down again.
Yeah, you know, and then, you know, looking at their rotation, I mean, this actually looks like a pretty solid rotation. You know, Matthew Boyd had some success, you know, the second half of last year. You know, if Michael Fulmer will stay healthy, you know, he's definitely a quality pitcher. You know, Jordan Zimmermann has had his ups and downs. Sadly, with Detroit, it's been mostly down since he signed that big contract. You know, and then they added Tyson Ross, who, again, you know, he's had a lot of arm problems. But if he's healthy, you know, he's a good guy to have. And then Matt Moore was surprisingly really good for Texas down the stretch last year. You know, that's you know, kind of a veteran starting five to run out there, even though, you know, both Boyd and Fulmer are under, you know, under 28. That's not terrible rotation-wise, is it?
No, not at all.
So, yeah, and again, the Tigers are building, a lot of their high-rated prospects are all pitchers. Like they have Franklin Perez, Alex, I'm guessing this is Sato, and Matt Manning, but they're all just projected to reach double A this year. So they're still a shade away. They do have Bo Burrows expected to move up to triple A, but I believe it's his first year there. Let me check. Yeah, this would be his first year in triple A. So while they do have some names and some pitching prospects that, may impact them, it looks like they're still kind of a couple years away from that. I do worry about their bullpen, especially since I had Shane Green last year in one of our leagues. He, not exactly what you would call a lockdown closer, but I guess in the situation Detroit's in, does that really matter? Do they need to? They need to upgrade, or are they kind of okay with this?
Oh, I definitely think they need to upgrade, but I think it can actually work out. I did want to bring up, in AAA, do you think we'll see Daniel Norris back up there? And, here's a name that you won't really know, but Kyle Funkhauser is actually related to my brother-in-law, their cousin. And
he's
in AAA.
Cool. Yeah, boy, Norris, I don't know about, he kind of washed out with, was it Toronto? Is that where he ended up getting, he ended up pitching there, and it didn't go so well. But he is, looking at his age here, he's not even 26 yet. So it's a little difficult to give up on those kind of guys. What the hell? Can it hurt to take a look at him, right? Always nice to have those left-handed arms. Maybe the rotation's not the spot for him, and he ends up in the bullpen. So, So I just want Kyle Funkhauser in the show now because he's got a cool name. So he pitched at AAA last year, so maybe he's not far away. They do have Tyson Ross has a horrible injury history. So if something comes up and bites him again, maybe we see a Norris or a Funkhauser sliding in as, his replacement. Maybe they make another move. Zimmerman and Moore are veterans that, teams would, like to have at the back end of their rotation. Or I remember there was a lot of talk about the Yankees being really interested in Michael Fulmer. Who knows if maybe that the year goes on. Obviously it would cost them a lot. We're talking about a guy who's not 26 yet, and I believe he was a rookie of the year and a Cy Young contender, but then he got dinged up a little bit last year. So, that's always, always possible. But I don't know, are you happy with this rebuild, with the way this is going for the Tigers?
I mean, this was a team that was on top of it for several years. I don't know.
I think they won more games than they expected to last year. I don't think they were expecting to win 64 games. But I don't know. Do they repeat that last year? You think they get there? Or do they get to 70 maybe this year? You see them doing better?
I think maybe 70. I just don't. I feel like the White Sox will actually do better than them.
We can see here. Let's pull up the Royals and see what the Royals are up to this season so far. Projected, we got Whit Merrifield, leading off second. Adalberto Mondesi finally going to look like he's going to get a chance to be the everyday shortstop. Alex Gordon in left, Sal Perez catching, Ryan O'Hara first, Jorge Soler in the DH spot, Brian Goodwin in right, Hunter Dozier at third, and here's your guy, Billy Hamilton, Dan, batting ninth in center field. How's that for an everyday lineup?
It's pretty solid. You would think that Soler would be up a spot or two, though. But I know he hasn't really proven to be up there.
Yeah, I think at this point, doesn't he got to prove he can stay healthy after his, you know, his first couple years there? They did add Chris Owings as their utility guy, and they brought back Terrence Gore, who seems to just be the pinch runner extraordinaire. Maybe him and Billy Hamilton will wait something. I'm interested to see Mondesi finally play every day. Again, it seems like we've talked about him for years, and he's only 23. So, that's just odd.
I mean, it goes back to July of 11, 7 years ago.
Yeah. I like Soler. I just wish he could stay healthy. You know, last year it seemed to be a little bit of everything. I am surprised to see him in the DH spot with, that arm he's got. You think you might want that in the outfield, but, I don't know a ton about Brian Goodwin. So, I know Alex Gordon is a gold glover, and, Billy Hamilton's a fantastic defender. Goodwin, that makes sense now. He was with the Nationals. Okay, I remember the name now, but I don't remember much about him. So I don't know. Do you know much about him?
No, not at all.
Yeah, no. And then rotation-wise, they're looking at Danny Duffy is actually 30 this year. That's kind of interesting. It seems like he's been pitching 100 pitchers too. Ian Kennedy still in rotation. Jake Junis, Brad Keller, and Eric Scotland are the guys they have listed as, all five. I guess the question finally becomes, Dan, does Duffy make it through the whole year with the Royals? Obviously they're still undergoing some kind of rebuild here. 30-year-old left-hander, you would think would be pretty popular, right?
Yeah, you would think he'd be the guy to go when he moves.
So, because I know there was a lot of talk about them moving him last year. Maybe this is the year. Not what I would call an overly impressive rotation. So, I know Keller had some moments where he pitched some good games, and I think Junis did a nice job of keeping them in game. But, it's just kind of the point where they are. And then, they have Willie Peralta listed as the closer. He's the guy who took over after everybody went away. They got a couple Rule 5 guys in the pen. Who knows if they'll stick around. It's a bunch of names. I don't know much about Kevin McCarthy, Tim Hill, George Lopez, Brian Flynn, who I think was a starter at one point. And then the Rule 5 guys are Sam McWilliams and Chris Ellis. So, I don't know a ton there on if we'll see or hear anything about those guys. They did pick up Brett Phillips in a trade from Milwaukee last year, but he's an outfielder, and you just got to wonder if there's a spot for him. So, I don't know. You figure they're the last place team in the Central. You got them finishing below the White Sox.
I think so, most definitely.
So yeah, it seems like they're still a still a little, yeah, you know, obviously it hurt when, you know, they had to basically let all their guys go, but they tried to win, and, you know, that's where you kind of end up when you're trying to win, you know, and you can't bring these guys back, so, you know, that's what you, this is what you end up with. Oh, but all right, well, let's jump on the other Chicago team here, Dan, and see what we got going on. The projected lineup right now, it's Yoan Moncada leading off, Yomer Sanchez, Jose Abreu, Yonder Alonso, Wellington Castillo, Daniel Palka, Tim Anderson, Nicky Delmonico, Adam Engel are the starters there. Dan, I guess the thing I got to ask you is, where the hell is Eloy Jimenez?
I'm wondering the same thing.
Right, I mean, he's got to be in the everyday lineup, right? You know, he's got to have an outfield spot this year after the year he had last year.
Well, not only that, the year he had in his first year up with the Cubs, and he continued to play at a seemingly high level.
And I know we're going to hear all the BS that, well, you know, he's just 22. There's no need to rush him, you know, and basically that means, well, we don't want to start his arbitration clock. Do you think it's going to be one of these BS things where we don't see him till about a month in the season, so they push that clock back?
Yeah, I would definitely do that if you can, especially with a team that's not really going to take over the division.
No, you know, they look like they're improving. I wouldn't call it a spectacular everyday lineup, but, you know, it's solid. I think Moncada's got to cut down on his strikeouts. I mean, that was ridiculous last year. But, you know, Abreu's a 300 guy. You know, Alonso's a nice add. It saves Abreu from kind of wearing down playing first base every day. You know, I thought Palka was a nice surprise and even got some Rookie of the Year votes. We'll have to see if that carries over. And, you know, Engel's a very good defender. He's not much with the bat, but he's a really good defender. You know, I like Tim Anderson. Of course, they have your guy, Jose Rondon, on the bench. Wasn't he supposed to be the everyday shortstop and leadoff guy?
Well, yeah, according to Beat Reporter Bruce Levine.
Yeah, so, well, you know, we'll have to see, you know, if that happens. But, you know, now, did you like the Yonder Alonso ad here? You know, I know he's kind of came on as of, you know, late, actually started hitting for power. Do you like the move here?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Jose Abreu has proven that he's really not huge power hitter, so you need that guy in your lineup. And if you look at the way it's set up, it's kind of set up as more of a traditional if they go. And, you know, as far as Eloy, don't you kind of want to see what you can get out of, you know, Nicky Delmonico, Palka, and Engel to see if one of those guys can maybe create some trade value?
You know, I think, you know, they know what they have in Delmonico and Engel already.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've seen enough of them. I mean, almost two seasons. You know, so I think they kind of know there. But yeah, Palka, you know, you gotta wonder, you know, will the league figure him out, or will he be a, you know, will he be a 30-homer guy if he gets to play every day? So, you know, that could be kind of interesting, but I don't know. Obviously I'd rather see, you know, Jimenez in there every day, you know, getting his work in, you know, because their other prospects, I think, hitting-wise, still a few years away. So, you know, Jimenez is really the guy ready to go. You know, that Luis Roberts is just coming out of A ball, and you know, Jake Berger, I think, was an A or double A, and what's the other outfielder's name here? Blake Rutherford. There you go. I don't know a ton about him, but you know, he's in double A. So they're a little ways away, but I really think Jimenez is ready to go, and they gotta find that spot for him. You know. So, you know, and then obviously, you know, the rotation took a big hit when they lost Kopech for the year, you know, when he blew out his arm last year. But, you know, it's still not too bad. You know, if Carlos Rodon is healthy, you know, he'll be okay. And, you know, they added, you know, the veteran Ivan Nova. That's, you know, you need one of those. And then we got Ronaldo Lopez and Lucas Giolito. We're both pretty solid. And, like, they list number five here as Manny, yeah, what is this, Banalos? I you know, again, another guy I don't know a ton about here. But, you know, we'll see if maybe he's the guy or if there's somebody else. But, you know, they went out and got a legitimate closer. I mean, Alex Colomé is a legitimate closer. You know, I know he was setting up at Seattle, but, you know, he's got closing experience from being back in Tampa Bay. I guess the question really is, can they get him the ball? You know, I know they like Nate Jones as a setup guy, but, man, he can't stay healthy. You know, and then at the other guys, you're just kind of plugging in. You know, like I saw Jace Fry a little bit last year. He had some moments. You know, I know Manaea throws about 200 miles an hour, but has trouble with control. Other than that, the other guys, you know, Covey's a washed starter, so he goes in the long roll. But, yeah, the middle guys I don't know a ton about. They don't have a lot of experience. But, yeah, like I said, I like the fact that they actually went out and got themselves a closer, and they're not going to try to pin it on, you know, Nate Jones to be the guy, because I doubt he would hold up.
Yeah, well, you know, and the nice thing about Colomé is he's getting roughly $7.5 million this year, and the next year is arbitration year three. So, you know, they at least have him. They have the option of keeping him for another year.
Well, that's good. Yeah, you know, you never know. Again, you know, what the position the White Sox are in. If, you know, if things go bad, you know, maybe he's a trade piece. So. Mm-hmm. You know, that's obviously a possibility there. So.
And the one minor move I really liked was them adding James McCann to the lineup to supplement Wellington Castillo.
Yeah, you know, he's a solid backup. I was a little surprised that they, you know, they went that route and they just didn't hang on to Nevaez, the guy they traded. But maybe Nevaez had to go bring Colomé back. And I don't know what happened to Kevin Smith. I don't see him listed anywhere.
Well, that was the kid that was playing good last year too, wasn't it?
Yeah. I'm kind of lost on where he went. Maybe he was a agent or something, but yeah, he's not listed. You know, even on the bench, he's not listed in their minors with this one or anything. So, well, you know, we'll have to see if there's maybe they just let him go. Obviously, something like that with the baseball guys. So I'll use your wonderful favorite search engine here and bing him and see what I come up with. No. And of course we get the slow internet response that I was looking for. I didn't realize he's 30 already, so maybe that was just kind of the oh yeah, okay. Yeah, the Sox put him on waivers. He was actually claimed by the Angel. So that's where we find him now. He's a Los Angeles Angel. It's no longer of Anaheim, right? You corrected that?
Yeah. They dropped that a couple of years ago. Not sure why.
Well, it was stupid, so maybe that was just because it worked. But the Sox were a 62-1 team last year. Do you see them improving?
Oh yeah, I think the team.
They're not going to compete, though. You're not quite ready to give them the division.
No, you know, I'm not Bruce Levine. I'm not going to tell you that they're going to be competing in 2019 with Jose Rondon leading off, and then winning the World Series in 2020. I still think they're a good, 3 years away from really.
Yeah, you got to figure two or three from, from being there. I mean, it looks like, the rotation and the lineup are rounding to shape, but there's a lot of holes in that bullpen. You know, once you get past Colomé, he's by no means a lockdown closer. He had his issues in Tampa Bay, but I don't know. So.
Well, and the other part of it, too, is the big struggle or the big problem that they'll always have is the comparison to the north side. And it's not so much the fandom part of it, well, the Cubs are better than the White Sox, but, that part of it, it's the fact that the seemingly groundwork of Theo has a huge comparison for what should be done on the south side. And that's one of the things that drives, even when I hear White Sox fans call and bring that up about the comparison and where they're going, and it's like, you guys, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Just because you're doing bad now does not guarantee the fact that you're going to win the World Series like the Royals, the Astros, and the Cubs.
But yeah, just kind of, it's one of those things that especially the White Sox have to deal with. It's because they're in Chicago. But any time a team undergoes this, they're going the route of the Astros and Cubs. It's never, of their own idea. Thing like that. It's just, they're going the route, they're going to try to do what the Astros and the Cubs did. And yeah, it just, how long, I guess my question is, how long have the Reds been rebuilding now?
Since Johnny Cueto left.
Yeah, I don't even, what year was that? I don't even remember now. But yeah, the Reds have been on that perpetual build, and some teams can do it and it works out, and other teams, miss and struggle. And, it finally looks like the Reds are kind of on the right track now, but I still don't think they're going to win their division or make the playoffs. So. It's just one of those things.
If teardowns and rebuilds were so great, then how come the Yankees never did it?
Yeah. So yeah, there obviously, there are teams that, like the Yankees have never done it because they've just spent money. We need this. We're going to go get the best of whatever the position is. There were, even when they got Stanton last year, there were very few teams that could have taken that contract. I mean, it was legitimately like the Yankees, the Dodgers, and the Cubs were the three teams that really could have taken that contract on. So, just kind of how they do it, and it works for them. And I'm sure the Red Sox could have taken that contract as well. I forgot to throw them in, but yeah, you know, just kind of, humorous. Now, you know, I heard a funny thing today that apparently both Bryce Harper and Manny Machado have said that they would like to play in New York over Philadelphia. Now, this was reported by, like, I think it was either John Heyman or John Morosi, so they're pretty, you know, high-level guys. You know, I have a hard time buying this because I think either guy is going to sign where the money is. They're not going to take less money. And I don't even know that Harper has met with the Yankees because obviously there's no spot for him there. I don't know. Do you buy this that either guy would actually say that while they're out on the open market?
I mean, but the report I saw was that Harper actually met with the Yanks for about 3 hours. So I don't.
Oh, okay.
You know, it wasn't as great as the White Sox meeting that Machado had. You know, it was a big ordeal, kind of, with Ricky Renteria and company. But did either one of them say that? Is that the question you're asking? And if that is, then I'd answer and say no. You know, that has to be some kind of leak out of the Boris Corporation, doesn't it? Both of these guys are represented by Boris, so.
No, I don't.
Well, it may not. Are you sure?
Yeah. I can double check that, but yeah, I don't believe he is a. I don't believe he is a Boris guy.
I was pretty sure he was, but I mean, if Harper's the one who's going to be getting the bigger contract, supposedly, and you're the agent for Machado, wouldn't you kind of want to link that name together? Link those names together?
Yeah, here they have Manny being listed with MVP Sports Group.
Oh, yeah, he's gone over that a million times.
yeah. Yeah, you know, you wonder, you know, and oddly, I wonder if, you know, could it possibly have been, you know, another team that leaked it, so, you know, maybe Philadelphia would think they were out of the running and go spend their money elsewhere?
That's very true. I mean, you know, that's one of the things, unfortunately, with either Heyman, Morosi, right, or any of the guys, we don't really know who their sources are, where it's coming from, and while it could be a good source, you know, you might want to leak stuff to get it out there, just to kind of fill your agenda, so to speak, and, you know, make people think a certain way. And obviously, we don't really know how much the GMs, you know, and presidents speak with each other, if how friendly they are or aren't. So, it's a big chess match. So, and I'm sure, you know, if you interviewed either one of these guys and they were in New York, you know, would you like to play? Yeah, I would like to play here.
Yeah,
put him in any other major city, you know, Chicago. Yeah, I'd like to play here. But I didn't say which team, you know what I mean? So...
yeah, I mean, it's just
I'd
good PR
to
for them to say, right? Oh, yeah, it was a good visit, you know. Oh, yeah, I'd love to play here, if we could work out the contract, right? I mean, that's just that's just being a smart businessman, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
So.
You know, so I can imagine either one of those guys saying that. And not only that, with the legacy, you know, was it 34 championships and, you know, Lou Gehrig, Babe Ruth, and that's your name and – with that, you know, how could you not want to play with that on a team with that history? But
yeah,
the
well,
other
you know,
side of it is,
it's got to be attractive for a team that's always going to do whatever they can to contend, right?
Yeah, but you know, part of it though is I can hear Bryce saying that. And granted, you and I don't know these guys; we're not hanging out with them, going out to the bar, or you know, playing video games or whatever they do on their free time. But, you know, from what we've seen of Machado, I think he would say that because he wants to get the money, not for the legacy. So.
Yeah, I just thought it was kind of strange that I'd rather play here than there. I just, at this point in the negotiations, I don't see either of them saying it, as any kind of rumor. Because I mean, think about it. If Philadelphia comes out with 10 years and $450 million, I don't care where they want to play. They're signing that contract, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Well, and I think one of the things that kind of, takes away from that is the fact that you brought up, was it last week or Tuesday or Wednesday? Well, I guess that would have been yesterday. Unless it was us talking. I don't know. Everything. But the fact that Machado came out and said he is going to make a quota decision after the new year.
Yeah. It's just, like I said, it's kind of humorous. And I mean, you look at the Harper thing and it's just kind of laughable because there's just really no fit with him with the Yankees. It's literally putting a square peg in a round hole. Unless you have an outfielder that can move to first base, and they don't really have that. I mean, could they learn to do it over time? Probably, but how much would it cost them in getting there? Obviously Judge is a good athlete. I'm sure he could learn how to play first. 6'8", he's a big target. Stanton's a big dude. He could, could possibly do it. I don't think a guy like Gardner or Aaron Hicks or anything like that would be a candidate to make that kind of move. But, yeah, you just wonder. I mean, the Yankees situation is similar to the Cubs. Oh, great, we got Bryce Harper. Now what the hell do we do with him? So, at least Machado makes sense for the Yankees. You plug him in at shortstop till Didi gets back, and then you figure it out when Didi gets back. So, but all right, well, we're winding down here with a few, about 8 minutes left or so. We're headed into our weekend, and at most of the offseason here, Dan is giving us some, last time his movie suggestion wasn't very good. Let's hope he likes this one a little better. what's your movie suggestion this time?
Well, let's be fair. My projection. Recommendation wasn't good, but you liked it, so that kind of doesn't negate it too bad. This was one I really wanted to bring up. It's one of my favorites. It's a ridiculous movie. It's not as ridiculous as Basketball, but maybe it is. So I really liked it, so you'll probably be the guy who hates it. Balls of Fury. I don't know if you've ever seen this. It's freaking hilarious. George Lopez is in it. This the main actor, I really don't know his name, or the girl. She's an Asian girl. I think she was popular for something. I don't remember. And then why can't I think of his name now? Who's that actor? He was on Saturday Night Live. He's in the movie with The Rock, The Rundown. He's an old guy.
Sean William Scott?
Oh, no, the villain.
Walken. Yeah,
Christopher Walken. How can I forget his name? I always get, stage fright, brain freeze when I get to this stuff sometimes with the actors. But Christopher Walken, of course, plays a fantastic villain. He's a Japanese guy, and it's all based around ping pong. So when you start off the movie, the young kid, I forget his name, he loves AC/DC. The 88 Olympics, he goes to win, and he loses to the German guy because his dad made a bet with Christopher Walken's character, and then mysteriously he disappears. So, we go into that, into the future day when he's washed up now, and he's playing in Vegas and accidentally kills a guy by giving him a heart attack, knocking ping pongs up, balls off his head, and that's where George Lopez rolls in and wants to recruit him for the FBI to catch Christopher Walken's character. And, he has to go through a series of ping pong tournaments, which the first one that George Lopez brings him to, the lead guy or the winner or the, you know, the man at that place is Patton Oswalt. Yeah, I really didn't know that was him because I never really seen him in a movie. I've listened to his comedy. It's kind of funny sometimes, but, you know, besides the point. So then he loses there. It's kind of got that Dodgeball, which we'll get into that one probably next week. It's another great comedy. Kind of got a theme going, if you notice. You know, so they go through that. You know, the Asian girl is the one, she, you know, they go to, he goes to train with her because her father was the greatest ping pong player in the world. And her uncle's the trainer and they own a Chinese restaurant. And Fang, that's his name. Fang is Christopher Walken's character. And, you know, we kind of go through it all and you go through the tournaments and they have a, you know, basically a sudden death. So every time you win or lose, once they make it to the big tournament by Fang, you know, the black actor, Terry something, the guy, Old Spice character, you know that one?
Terry Crews,
you know, he's in it, so he's hilarious. Freddy Fingers, you know, he does that, Freddy Fingers, So it's pretty fun. And then, you know, you get to the end, and then the main character has to challenge Christopher Walken's character, and, you know, at the end, it's just like any other movie. He saves the day, gets the girl, and goes home to be a ping pong legend. So, but I don't think it's on Netflix. You might have to search for that one on YouTube or, you know, any. I don't promote any illegal streaming whatsoever. Even Big Jack.
Yeah, I can honestly say I've never seen this. I have heard of it. And I do the I get a kick out of the tagline they wrote on IMDb. It says a down and out former professional ping pong phenom Randy Dakota Daytona is sucked into a storm when FBI agent Ernie Rodriguez recruits him for a secret mission. Randy is determined to bounce back and win and to smoke out his father's killer. So that's kind of.
So, but the best part about it is the German character, you know, that's like his arch nemesis. So at the very beginning of the movie, you know, when he loses the tournament, it's a long, there's this Kevin guy who is an MTV VJ, if you remember that stuff, VJs, yeah. He was the guy for ESPN or whatever that gave Randy Daytona, the child, his line. And his line was, when he wins, what was the most popular line back in those days, Big Jack? I'm going to Disney World. So he goes back for the long one, keeps going back, trips over the setup, the little stage area, falls over, racks himself, knocks his head, and they've got the camera on him. And I don't remember if he asked him the question or not. All he says is, I'm going to Disney World. And it's, you know, the big joke, and that's what makes him, you know, aside from his father being, you know, murdered, it makes him kind of the laughing stock of the world. You know, they even have a shot of Ronald Reagan sitting there with Nancy rolling his eyes, looking very disappointed. So it's a classic one. And then, you know, when he makes it to the big tournament as an adult, Randy Daytona comes, they call him out, and one of the people in the crowd just yells out, hey, Randy, did you make it to Disney World?
Right. Let us know. I think we're not going to be able to do anything again with the holidays. So let us know. We'll be involved with Mr. Fantasy to do our fantasy football stuff. But you know the deal about what's on sportsradio.com. I look for that new blog. It will be up Saturday. Get sports blog and everything. We'll go over the things that are like the testing of the citizens. Whenever you want. Tune in.